The 2020 season is nearly run and done, so it's time for the real stuff to start, the trades. My name's Rudy Etzel. Welcome to the our Triple M Trade Tracker intro for the year. I've got the great man himself, Tommy Brown, on the line, and we're just going to run through each club's trade period. Tommy, how are you going up there in the hub?
Yeah, it's great being in the hub, Rudy. I'm looking forward to the finals, but trade period is, I guess, well and truly started because there's eight teams out of the finals. We're all looking for an edge. And there's lots of players looking to go to successful clubs. So it's pretty interesting.
Indeed. Well, like I said, we're going to go with all of the clubs and how they're going. We'll do it in alphabetical order because that makes sense. And Adelaide, Brad Crouch is hot property. Got a couple of clubs looking for him. But what do you think will go on there, Tommy?
I think Patrick Dangerfield is very keen on Brad Crouch. I think the Cats are very keen on Brad Crouch. Having said that, the Cats are into a lot of players. It looks also this week like Port Adelaide's interested in Brad Crouch. I think Gary Lyon might have mentioned that. So I think he's going to have options, but I suspect he'll end up at Geelong, but early days on that front.
Yeah, that makes sense. Is there any? Can you sense any other movement out of Adelaide or into it even?
No, Mark Stevens mentioned Talia during the week, possibly to Essendon, but Essendon's sources have certainly downplayed that. So not to dispute that report, I don't think there's anything in that at this stage, but Adelaide's clearly trying to rebuild and they're going to be in a very strong position in the draft. I sort of sounded out during the week whether they're interested in potentially using any picks on Lukosius, but to the best of my knowledge, Lukosius isn't leaving the Gold Coast Suns. So I think that Adelaide will be active in a strong position, but it's too early to tell what they're doing at this stage.
And Rory Atkins, he said that he wanted to leave. Have you got any line of sight on where that might be?
No, not at this stage.
Okay, all right. All right, we'll move on to Brisbane. Now, they might be big players in this trade period. The word is out that they're trying to get a hold of Joe Danaher, and Nakia Cockatoo from Geelong is also... seems really likely to make the move up there. What do you make of those moves?
Rudy, I think Joe Danaher's preference, as far as I can tell, and I say as far as I can tell because no one really knows, even his management don't know yet. I think Danaher's preference is to probably go to Sydney, but I think Brisbane lead the race for Joe Danaher. I think they've made some type of persuasive indicative offer. I don't know what that is at this stage, but I think they lead the race. I put it to them during the week that he possibly had a medical and that he toured the facilities, and they say no to both those things. That would be a breach of their COVID protocols at this stage. So as far as I know, Joe's on like a bush safari. He's gone desert, like to perhaps the Simpson desert, and he's making up his mind. I think Essendon would like an answer in about, effectively by the end of next week. I think Essendon hasn't given up on Joe Danaher staying, certainly. But at the same time, it's sort of becoming a bit of a charade, like not giving him an answer. And they're a self-respecting club. And at some point in time, they'll have to draw a line in the sand. But at the moment, I think they're keen to keep Joe, but all indications are that it'll be Sydney or Brisbane. Having said that, there's a lot to play out there.
Yeah, so Geelong no longer in the race for Joey?
No, they are, but Geelong will be, you think, in the finals for a little while. Tom Hawkins flagged interest during the week. I don't know how serious that is vis-a-vis Brisbane and Sydney.
Right, I understand. Okay, Nakia Cockatoo, that sounds like it's more or less a done deal from some reports.
Yeah, that does sound like that will happen. Having said that, there's a bit to play out there. He just can't get a game for long, so just look for opportunity.
Yep, okay, gotcha. Carlton, it seems like they're going to get Zach Williams.
Yeah, Carlton, as I reported earlier this week, Zach Williams informed the Giants of his intention to pursue free agency, and I reported that his preference and nomination will be Carlton. That's a huge coup for Carlton. Carlton's edged out North Melbourne in getting Williams. And I think North was offering north of $800,000. And Williams certainly isn't motivated by money, but you have to think that Carlton's made a similar offer, which I've reported to be up to $900,000. So it's big money. He's a running defender that I think Carlton will put in the midfield. They'll have him there with Cripps. And I think a lot of Carlton fans will be pretty excited about that.
Yes, you'd have to think that they will. Collingwood are looking to embolster their forward line in this off-season. And it sounds like Jack Gunston and Ben Brown have been the guys that they're looking for. But I did see your report today, Tommy, that Gunston's going to stay at Hawthorn?
Well, in terms of Collingwood's recruiting priorities, we don't really know what they are these days because they keep their cards pretty close there, Jess, as far as recruiting goes. I mean, Bucks talks about the midfield connectivity recently in terms of getting the clearances. Sidebottom is the obvious solution. He's not playing up here at the moment. So I don't think they'll be looking for another midfielder. I think they're definitely looking, probably looking and scouring the market for a forward. Jack Gunston was linked to interest from Collingwood during the week. It's my understanding that Gunston will stay at the Hawks. So that sort of leaves Collingwood potentially looking at Ben Brown. I don't think they're out of the market for Ben Brown. Having said that, there's divergent views on Brown's form. Like, it was very good last year. It wasn't as good this year. Some recruiters that I speak to think that he leads to the pockets and doesn't necessarily straighten you out. Having said that, some of the delivery from North was pretty suspect this year, so maybe they played him out of form. Plus, he had that knee injury. So there's a bit to play out in the Ben Brown space. But it's been a spectacular situation going from having a pretty ironclad offer of 3 years at, you know, circa $700,000 a year to now not having an offer at all from North Melbourne and effectively at the moment being, well, sort of out of a job. Now, Adam Ramanaskis, his manager, I think addressed that today, and to paraphrase, sort of put it on North Melbourne. But look, to analyse whether that was good advice offered to Brown, you'd have to know whether all the options were on the table to Brown and whether Brown accepted that risk himself. But it's an unfortunate consequence of COVID that that offer from North was withdrawn. His form went off at the same time, and it's going to catch some players out. It looks like it might catch Jeremy Cameron out, that similar situation, not taking an offer earlier in the year.
All right, let's move on to Essendon. Always big players in this space, the Bombers. Joe Danaher, we've sort of discussed. Zach Merritt had come up a little bit, but I saw you were saying that he's going to stay at the Bombers.
There was a bit in there. So I don't think Merritt was entirely wrapped with aspects of this season. I think it's fair to say that. But I don't think he's going to leave. That's my firm information. I spoke to the Bombers about that. He's very close with the Bombers list manager, Adrian Dodoro, there in regular communication, I understand. And I've sort of spoken to his management about it as well. Merritt's not going anywhere. He's out at the end of next year. That might be a different story. And I know he's close to Joe Danaher, who I suspect will leave the Bombers. But look, there was something in the Merritt thing, but I think hub life has made some players, you know, a bit antsy at times, but I don't think Merritt's going anywhere.
Right. A big watch this space on Adam Saad for us. I think that they could cause real ructions at Essendon if a deal gets done there. Do you think that he might go?
Well, Essendon's made him an attractive offer, a four-year attractive offer. He was recruited from, it was the Suns, wasn't it, on reasonable money. So I can't imagine he's going to get a massive premium leaving. I spoke to him yesterday at Brisbane Airport, and he said he's returned to Melbourne to speak to his manager, spend some time with his family and weigh up his decisions. There's certainly interest from North Melbourne and Carlton, and I think there's interest, some interest from Melbourne and perhaps Richmond as well to replace Hooley eventually. I think he is looking for success, and I also think he's been frustrated by some aspects of Essendon's year, most notably the coaching handover. So in a sense, sort of left to the Bombers list guys to sort of mop these things up when it's not necessarily their fault. I think that the coaching handover was clunky. Having said that, Rutten's naturally looking towards youth and the younger aspects of his side, and that was reflected in their best and fairest results, so you can't begrudge him doing that. But it's left a few of the medium or older guys, just assessing their options. And I think Saad's definitely interested in success.
Okay, that makes sense. Again, like I said, one to watch there. Fremantle, I haven't heard a huge amount coming from them.
Backtrack a little bit, Rudy. Just backtracking a little bit. I think there was a bit in Damien Barrett's report last week that Cale Hooker is a little bit frustrated. He wasn't in the team by the end of the year. Having said that, he's got a year to run on his contract. I don't think there'd be mass interest in Cale Hooker externally. I mean, you could throw him forward or in defence. Fit, he's a good player, but I don't think he'll agitate too much. I think if there was an interested party, you look at it, but I think at this stage he'll stay at the Bombers. But again, not really part of their plans going forward. He's a great servant of the club. I think he'd rather just stay a one-club player.
Fair enough. As I said, we're about to move on to Freo. Haven't heard a huge amount from them in this space at present. Have you got anything for Freo? There was a bit of chat about Jesse Hogan recently.
Yeah, there was some mail about 2 weeks ago that Hogan was interested in a return to Victoria for family reasons. He doesn't have, unfortunately, any family or much family with WA anymore. Because his dad, he moved there and his dad unfortunately passed away. So he might be interested in returning to Victoria, I heard. Having said that, he played himself into form towards the end of the year, and there's an argument at Fremantle that Hogan and Tapadar are quite a good combination. So I'd suggest they wouldn't want to trade him. Having said that, maybe they played him into form to trade him. So we're about to find out in the next few weeks.
Geelong are always in the conversation around this time of year, Tommy. We mentioned Brad Crouch. You mentioned Joe Danaher. There was a bit of chat recently about Jack Viney.
Yeah, so Jack Viney is, well, probably the second most high-profile free agent out now, apart from Jeremy Cameron. He's making up his mind as to what he wants to do. He hasn't recommitted to Melbourne yet. Of course, we expect him to recommit to Melbourne. Having said that, he's obviously exploring his free agency options and having a good think about it, which he's absolutely entitled to do. I think Geelong is potentially interested, absolutely. So that might, again, play out after Geelong's out of the final. So I wouldn't expect Jack to make up his mind necessarily anytime soon. Also, from a Geelong perspective, I think they're very much interested in Sean Higgins. North won't stand in his way if he was to get a reasonably good offer from Geelong, which would involve obviously paying some of his remaining money. So I think that they're definitely interested in Sean Higgins as well. They've been linked to a lot of players, Geelong. So clearly they're trying to plan beyond this year as well as being a huge contender for the finals.
That makes sense. Next up, Gold Coast. Is there anything happening on the Gold Coast?
I hear whispers that there's players that want out. There's a bit of a sort of a cultural change there, obviously, going on with Solomon leaving and Stewie Dew just taking control, if you like. But it's impossible to say at the moment. Until we see evidence of that, everything seems to be going on all right there.
GWS are another club that's always in the gun around this time of year. Jeremy Cameron, obviously. Zach Williams has already said he's going to go. Jai Caldwell is featuring in conversations. We'll start with Jeremy Cameron. How do you see that playing out?
The Cameron situation is probably the most interesting out of all the trade scenarios because he's at his best, potentially just such an incredible player. We know that already. I think there was an offer from the Giants at the start of the year. There was an okay offer. I think they then improved their offer, and I think he probably rejected that, is my understanding. And now they've made him some type of revised offer. I think the Giants are a bit gun-shy about offering a crazy amount of money off the back of, and a crazy period, off the back of the Kelly and Canelio deals. I think that Dave Matthews and this team will just be a little bit cautious in that regard. So I'm sure they're offering Jeremy Cameron a substantial amount of money and very attractive offer. But at the same time, I don't think it's not a knockout offer. So if someone wants to come in and offer him a crazy amount of money, I guess they could. He's out of form. That's the issue. So that would be risky in a lot of list managers' opinion. He's obviously at his best a huge commodity and a magnificent player and a great bloke. So you'd be happy to have him at your club, you'd presume. As to whether anyone else will make him a big offer, I sort of put it to Sydney sources during the week whether they were interested. They don't have enough money. They don't have enough salary cap to go after him. So it's an interesting situation. I think Geelong's interested, or at least they were. Whether that's still the case, we'll find out. I think Cameron will stay because they've got money now freed up from Williams leaving and Call leaving. So you'd think the Giants would pay him what he wants. Having said that, the Giants want to be a little bit, I think they are being a bit cautious about it because he's not in the world's best form.
Yeah, well, if Sydney doesn't have the money to go after Jeremy Cameron, you'd think Geelong wouldn't as well. Hawthorn normally huge players in this space, but they're most likely to, they're going to use pick four or whatever it turns out to be. I believe Graham Wright said that in the press recently. Have you heard anything else about what Hawthorn might be up to, who might come, who might go?
Well, obviously they're going to extend Smith, and I think it looks to me like Frawley will get another year, and McAvoy seems like he's safe. Obviously he's in good form, so he's very much a required player. The only guys with a lot of trade currency would be, because obviously they want picks, would be Scheel or Bruce. But I can't imagine they're going to trade either of those two guys. That sort of leaves you to think that I mean, they certainly wouldn't trade O'Meara or Mitchell. So I think they'll just want to go to the draft, as far as I can tell.
So that, yep, that makes sense. As we mentioned earlier, Jack Gunston sounds like he's going to stay. So let's move on to Melbourne. You mentioned before Jack Viney is essentially the second biggest high-profile free agent of this trade period. But it does feel a little like they, one of those midfielders, one of those core of like really good inside midfielders, it feels like one too many almost to those guys. So that's obviously Clayton Oliver, Jack Viney, and Angus Brayshaw. Can you see all three of those in Melbourne colours next season?
Yeah, I think they will be. I think they'll try and bring in perhaps Pollock on the wing to mean they can play Tomlinson in defence. That's one thing they're looking at. And I think they're also in the mix for Saad. But in terms of losing one of those midfielders, I don't think that'll happen. The only issue there would be whether Viney leaves, but that's pretty unlikely at this stage.
Are they into Jared Pollock?
They're interested in Jared Pollock, yeah. North will trade Jared Pollock for the right deal. He's on relatively big money, like $650,000 or $700,000 big money. So it would require Melbourne to cover a portion of that. The knock on Pollock this week seems that he didn't follow Reece Shaw's instructions to play a tagging role earlier in the year. But beyond that, I would have thought he's a pretty good player. So it's an unusual situation that he's had this fallout with North. Having said that, with his age and money profile now, that they don't, well, look, they don't want to get rid of him. He's a good player, but at the same time, he doesn't really fit in their rebuilding strategy.
Yeah, yeah, that's you'd think that Melbourne would be pretty keen for a player like that with a bit of class. And you mentioned Saad. Would Melbourne be the front runner if he was to leave Essendon? Do you feel?
I feel Saad would like to perhaps go to Melbourne because I think he's spoken to some people I've heard about Melbourne, some of his teammates. Having said that, I don't think they lead the race. I think North and Carlton would be prepared to pay more money. Having said that, I don't think he'd get any guaranteed success at either of those clubs. Having said that, there's no such thing anywhere. So I don't think Melbourne lead the race for Saad.
North, we've mentioned, are going to be pretty big players here this time around. Jared Pollock, we just spoke about. Ben Brown, we spoke about at length just before. But it does sound like the one thing you can bank on is Aiden Corr being a Kangaroo next year.
Yeah, I think Corr will be a Kangaroo next year, absolutely, and which is exciting for the Kangaroos. They're engaging in a massive rebuild, obviously, under Scott Clayton. They brought in from West Coast and previously the Bulldogs. Reece Shaw, obviously, orchestrating that as well. So I don't think they'll be particularly active in the trade space. But having said that, they need to bring in some players. They've been trying to bring in some players, but they clearly want to go to the draft.
Port Adelaide up next. They obviously they're still in the season at the moment, so it doesn't seem like there is as much being discussed with them. Have you heard anything happening at Alberton?
There's always a bit of talk about Ollie Wines. I've checked that out recently, and he's staying from all my Port Adelaide sources, so nothing happening in that regard. Obviously, it sounds like they're into Brad Crouch, or they're interested in Brad Crouch, which is interesting. Jack Watts has obviously retired during the week, but nothing more from Port Adelaide.
What about Richmond? Now, there was a bit of chat about Jack Graham might go, but just today it sounds like he is going to sign on for another a decent-sized deal for the Tigers.
Yeah, it sounds like Jack Graham's going to sign on, which is good news for Graham and the Tigers fans. I think the Tigers are definitely interested in... I think the Tigers are potentially interested in Saad as a replacement for Hooley. But beyond that, they don't seem to be too active so far.
Yep, that makes sense. Another team that's sort of still in the flag race for this year. St Kilda, we sort of semi-discussed Jai Caldwell possibly going there. There's been a little bit of chat about Sean Higgins and Ben Brown as well, though. Do you see that as realistic?
I don't think St Kilda would go for Ben Brown. I think they'd talk to Sean Higgins. They'd be, you know, he sort of fits sort of what they're trying to do in terms of bringing in experienced guys, Moneyball style, for, you know, an effective outcome or result. I mean, Sean Higgins is a very, very good player. Like, he's fantastic. As for other things that St Kilda's doing, it'll be interesting. I mean, they've been probably the most successful in terms of rebuilding using existing talent in recent years, as well as going to the draft, and in guys like Steele. I mean, they've been phenomenally successful left-lean and their list manager, and also Graham Allen. So it'll be interesting to see what St Kilda do, but I don't think it'll be De Brown.
Has there been any discussions about Jake Carlisle's future? I know he's in and out of the team late in the season.
Yeah, he's out of contract and hasn't got an offer, and his career is at the crossroads. He played in their last home and away game, and I think his career at St Kilda could in part depend on how he goes if he's selected in the first final. His wife's also due to give birth back on the Murray, so he's potentially going to leave the Saints to attend that, which he won't want to do, but he doesn't want to miss the birth either in the next couple of weeks. So Jake's in a really tricky position. All hope is not lost yet for Jake Carlisle, but it's a pretty critical phase of his tenure at St Kilda.
What about Sydney, Tommy? Have you heard anything about them? I know you mentioned that they don't have plans to have a crack at Jeremy Cameron, but is there anyone else on their radar that you've heard of?
I keep trying to investigate whether Jordan Degoe would want to go to Sydney. I think Jordan Degoe will stay at Collingwood. I think that'll happen, you'd suspect, relatively soon. I think that if Jordan Degoe didn't play at Collingwood, he'd be interested in going to Sydney, but that doesn't mean he'll go there. I think he wants to stay at Collingwood. Sydney don't have a lot of money in terms of their cap. They're going to have massive money tied up in the last 2 years of Buddy's deal. Huge money, like well over $1 million money. They got money tied up in Kennedy, money tied up in Heaney, money tied up in Mills. So for a team that is underperforming at the moment, they don't have a lot of wriggle room with their money, which is a reflection of when they did those contracts and also the premium you tend to pay for, I guess, guys to stay in Sydney, which always confuses me. It's a good place to live, Rudy, but that's just the way it is. So I don't think Sydney will be too active. Having said that, I always suspect they're cooking up something, so we'll find out. But it might be Joe Danaher.
Yeah, okay. So Sydney, Joe Danaher, that's more or less it. Another club that tends to do their business quite professionally, West Coast, they seem to be pretty happy with where they're at the moment. After the big ticket acquisition of Tim Kelly last year. So I haven't heard much coming out of them. What about you?
No, I'm not hearing much out of West Coast at the moment at all. They're very well placed with a very good list.
Indeed. And finally, the Western Bulldogs. They sounds like they're in the market for a small forward, and there's been a little bit about chat about St Kilda's Jack Loney, but that's about all.
Yeah, I'm not across any big plays by the Bulldogs at this stage.
Okay, cool. Well, that can probably pretty much wrap us up then, Tommy. That's every club's trade period wrapped at this point. So we'll do a few more of these in the lead up. It's just going to get hotter and hotter from here, isn't it? And I think it's the 24th of October is the first day of the real trade period. No, that's not right. That's the grand final. That's 26th of October is the day of the first trade period. So yeah, we'll be doing plenty of these podcasts in the lead up to that. So just stay across the Triple M Footy socials and you'll hear all about it from us, and subscribe to the podcast feed. Thanks for joining me on Zoom from the hub up there, Tommy Brown.
Thanks, Rudy. I think that last year seemed to be about the ruckman trying to find homes. I think this year's going to be about the forwards. A lot will hinge, obviously, off to Goey and more recommitting to Collingwood. We'll then get a better position on where they're at. Also, what Cameron does and what Danaher does, and a lot will flow off that. And I'm sure there'll be some new names that come up as well. So it's going to be a pretty exciting trade period.
Yep, I'm really looking forward to it. And once again, stay across Triple M Footy's socials and podcast feed.